Welcome to Logos Live. I'm Robert Martin, Director of the City Bible Forum in Melbourne, and I'm your host for the show. Logos is Greek for word or message, and Logos Live seeks to engage the Christian message before a live audience at lunchtime in the CBD of Melbourne. And we have a live audience before us today. Are they alive? Oh, there's a... There's a couple of people alive out there. Yeah, we also aim to have a little bit of fun. Who said exploring the big questions of life shouldn't be enjoyable? Now, modern Australian culture is influenced by Christianity. In fact, the Christian message dominates the history of Western civilization. And the birth of Christianity can be traced to that first Easter week. Why is Easter so important? How could these events change the world? Over a number of sessions, we'll be engaging the events of that first Easter week firsthand. And today we're looking at the Last Supper. But before we do, I'd like to introduce someone. Some say that when he sleeps with a dictionary under his pillow, in the morning, the dictionary is twice as large. All we know is he's Cam, award-winning poet and performer. Please welcome Cam Semmons.
Thank you very much. Well, I have two jobs here today. I'm bringing the Bible reading, and then I will share a new poem for you as well. So the Bible reading first, which is Luke chapter 2, verses 7 to 23. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Well, after reading that, I just thought I'd try and write a poem just trying to get into the mind of Judas. What was he thinking? What got him to this point? This is me just trying to capture where Judas was on the Last Supper. I call it Silver Coins and Silence. I can see Judas sitting in the corner of the room, nodding, laughing, saying the right words. And he's wondering, can I do this? Should I do this thing? As silver coins spin before his eyes, dazzling, blinding. Then Jesus starts speaking with that weird balance of clarity and mystery like he always does. And Judas sips wine and looks down, feigning interest like he always does, while Jesus speaks of wine as blood. As Judas plays with a crust of flatbread in his fingers, Jesus speaks of bread as flesh. Then Jesus pauses. Judas freezes. Silence more dangerous than any words. And Jesus says, "The one who is betraying me is here, now." did Judas pull back ever so slightly? Did he, rigid and still not a breath of movement, look to Peter and John, a pantomime, who? And tell himself, me. The deal is done.
I'd like to introduce our guests today, Pastor Victor Sue. Victor has been a Christian believer for over 35 years, and in that time has been actively serving with ministries inside and outside the church. He has a background in engineering and in senior management, and he's now the pastor of Reach Community Church, a church that Victor pioneered 11 years ago. Please welcome Victor Sue.
Thank you.
Well, welcome, Victor. We're glad that you can join us here today. Now, you've been a Christian believer for over 35 years. Do you remember back to those dark ages many years ago when you decided to become a Christian believer? What was it that convinced you to follow Jesus?
When I was young, my earliest recollection was going to church when I was 4 or 5 years old, and it was Christmas. And of course, I didn't understand any of the message except that I got a Christmas gift. I went back very, very happy. And that was my earliest recollection. That church is fun. They give you presents. And after that, I never went back to church. And I never knew about church. And that was when I was 4 or 5.
Right.
So then in my teenage years, I started wondering about the meaning of life. And I come from Malaysia. That's my origins. And there are a lot of religions. So I've seen a lot of them. So I often ask, you know, when in where I go to school, the first day of each year, there'll be a roll call. They'll name call you, and you got to say yes. And the next thing is religion. So when it came to me, it says, Victor Sue, religion, none. Then the next
person. Obviously, that Christmas present wasn't enough to convince you.
No, it didn't look. It didn't seem to be so.
Right. Okay.
And I'm thankful of that too.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Otherwise, that'd be it. I thought that there'd be no more seeking.
Yeah.
So anyway, so eventually, I asked a lot of these people of their faith. You know, what made them become to believe in their God, and I could not get a very, very convincing answer. And until I came to Australia, I was still seeking, and this. And I came to know God as my Lord and my Savior, which is Jesus.
What was it that particularly convinced you?
As I mentioned, I've seen all these religions. You know, the background to all of these religions never seemed to be credible to me.
Right.
And many of these founders of all these religions never claimed to be God. And what was the clincher for me was that history proved that there was a man called Jesus, and he died and he rose again.
Yep.
According to what was written, according to his prophecy and other prophecies. And that was really the deal. And subsequent to that was I went to church for 5 weeks. I observed Christians, and they seemed to be more credible. They seemed to be happier. So, and it led me back to when I was 4 or 5 years old. I said, hey, these people are just as happy. Mm. And I like to have a life like that. And they seem to know where they're going, unlike many other faiths. Mm. Or religions. Mm.
Thank you for sharing that, Victor, because that's in many ways what we're trying to do with this series on the week that changed the world. You also mentioned Christmas. Now, Christmas can be a significant meal. For many people, it's the largest meal they consume in a year. What other significant meals are there? Do you enjoy your food?
Yes, I do.
You do? Sorry, this is not meant to be a confession time, but it's...
I hope it's not showing.
Yeah. The recording, it's going to be very difficult to see. You can make up your own mind.
Thank goodness for that.
You can listen from the voice and work out whether or not Victor has had too much food or not. And so what about significant meals? So meals that in the course of history that have been significant, you think?
I come from an ethnic Chinese background. To us, the Chinese New Year's Eve dinner is a very, very important one. And I could remember since I was a kid that mom would say, you know, wherever, whatever you do, you need to be back by dinner. And that stuck with us. And now being here, and we continue on with that particular cultural practice.
Yeah.
So that's a very important meal. And subsequent to becoming a Christian, to me, Christmas is a great time, a great opportunity to just renew kinship, relationship with the family, with friends, and an opportunity to really practice hospitality. So it's a great meal.
Yeah.
And so, it's the Christian faith that's driving this thing.
So what would you eat at a Chinese New Year kind of feast?
Oh, I would always remember there would be what you call this vermicelli. It's a long strand of noodles. It's meant to represent longevity. And it's supposed to be eaten, you know, like that. And then I always remember that is where my culture, my family would traditionally serve as being one of them.
You mean vermicelli?
Yes.
Yes, yes. And what happens if you cut the noodle? Does that impact your life as well, your lifespan?
I don't think it's possible to eat it the whole long spread. Right, even to slurp it, I think you would have to cut it.
We're looking now at one of the most significant meals in history, which is the Last Supper of Jesus. Luke here at the beginning talks about the circumstances of this meal, which is a very special meal in the Jewish calendar, which is the Passover. What exactly is the Passover?
The term Passover first appeared in the Bible was actually when the Israelites were in captivity. Mm-hmm. In Egypt. And during this time, God commanded that the Israelites to really celebrate this particular night with a sacrifice.
Yep.
It could be a goat, it could be a lamb, without any blemish. And they were to bring it home on the 10th day and then keep it. And on the 14th day, in a twilight, it was sacrificed this. And it was significant to the Jews because at that time they were enslaved for 400 years.
Yep.
And they were seeking deliverance. And God said, this very night, you would seek that liberty. And if you celebrate this feast, and upon the sacrifice of this animal, with the blood being painted on the post and the lintel, the angel of death on that night will pass over you and your family, and you'll be safe. That's where salvation will be obtained.
Hence the name Passover.
Correct.
Because they're passing over. And it brings life and salvation and
Correct.
So on. And this festival was kind of continued in perpetuity, wasn't it? It was as an ongoing reminder, a bit like, as you mentioned before, with Christmas.
Correct.
But now, this particular Passover is special, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. What's so special about this one?
With this particular one that is celebrated by us, by the way, the Jews of today still continue to celebrate Passover.
Yeah.
And for me, the Passover is of great significance simply because this one is actually performed and fulfilled by Jesus himself.
Mm.
And the Passover required a particular sacrifice, that of an animal.
Yep.
And blood has to be shed. And this blood is shed as an exchange. It's a medium of exchange.
Yep.
It's like a payment to redeem.
Mm-hmm.
It is from the life of sin, of corruption. Well,
so it's life for life, I suppose. Is that
correct?
That what
precisely.
Yeah.
And for me, to celebrate Passover, subsequent to the time of Jesus, is that it was with his own life that he paid. It was a supreme sacrifice offered by a man for me. So it's really, really personified in a scripture of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son.
Yeah.
So it describes Easter as well, or it's him as the Passover lamb.
Yeah. Let's just consider the circumstances around this Passover. Jesus tells his disciples, go and make preparations. Jesus seems to be able to predict the future. It's like he says, go ahead, do this, and it's all there as he described. It seems almost a bit like a candid camera kind of thing, do you think? Is it a setup?
No, it could not have possibly been a setup. It could not have been possibly planned. Simple reason because, for a man who was about to be betrayed.
Yeah.
And he was now actually this was the time of the unleavened bread. And it was a difficult time for Jesus. And he was with actually his disciples. And then one of them asked, how are we going to prepare this? So it did not initiate from him.
Mm-hmm.
He did not initiate this. Then he told John to go and find a place. And it's great. This is an instance that proves his divinity as well, this foreknowledge.
Mm.
Simple reason is, number one, he said, find a man who's carrying water.
Yeah.
Culturally, it's usually women. So to find a man doing that is really
it's
odd.
It's pretty unusual.
Correct.
Yeah.
And number two, it was in the upper room that is vacant. And this man would not know him, but this man willingly gave it to him. And then three was furnished.
Yeah.
And I think most important of all is just that it was big enough as well, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been any room.
They haven't just got a little kind of attic
somewhere
with two stools and a little kernel of bread. This is actually...
Precisely.
It's actually all ready to go. So you're saying that Luke here is sort of suggesting something about Jesus?
Yes, his divinity. You know, he's having foreknowledge.
As this kind of power, authority.
Authority,
sort of thing.
Correct. Yeah. And to be able to choose a perfect setting for the Last Supper.
So he's found this perfect setting for the supper. There's a few things that he says here, like he eats the meal and there's these cups and bread. Tell us, what does all this mean?
The Jewish people really culturally believe in the practice of hospitality.
Yeah.
A meal is very, very important. And for someone that was, again, on the eve of his betrayal, wanting to actually spend time with his disciples and having a meal, it speaks very, very loudly of love. It is great love,
yep. You know,
limitless love, abounding love. So I see this basically setting us in love and a place without any disturbance that he wants to spend his last moments in the pouring of his love.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this, and a cup, the bread, and basically it was something that he has prepared to describe or to present for posterity and to the disciples to understand. Mm. And it's symbolic.
I mean, there's lots of symbolic meals and stuff, like Christmas has symbols, and so I'm not sure, what sort of symbols do you have at Christmas?
For us, besides the present, will be the turkey. Quite often we bring out the red runner, to put it on the dining table.
The special runner?
Yeah.
Wow, that's going to be a special occasion, and you bring out the runner. Now, here we have some symbols like bread and wine. I'm just wondering, how does a person with a Chinese background react to bread and wine? Like, wouldn't something like, you know, noodles and green tea, wouldn't that be more sort of appealing as a sort of symbolic kind of meal? Wouldn't that... Maybe you shouldn't answer that.
I think some of this... The audience of Asian background, right, what do you think? Answer question with a question.
Right.
I think it'd be difficult. I think it would not work so well.
Right.
It would not work so well. Because just imagine trying to break bread and instead you break noodles. You know? I can see
it'd be wontons.
I can see that it's going to be mushy and messy.
Right.
And the green tea, how could you tell me it represents a symbolic of blood? Green?
Yeah. Well, maybe not human blood, perhaps. That's right. Yeah. So what do the symbols mean then? So bread and wine. What do they mean?
I mean, bread is a staple, and wine, you know, in those days is a staple because coming from a Gregorian society, and Jesus, I believe, he used bread. Simple reason is that it had been a loaf, and on that night before his betrayal, he used that loaf to represent that we are one.
Mm.
That we
also,
are one.
He also says there, he says, it took the bread, this is in verse 19, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given broken. For you.
He said he broke it and then it's broken for you. And each one of you, you take one piece. Although there are many pieces, but they come out from the same one loaf.
Mm.
We are one, but we are many. You know? Yet we are actually all belonging to that one part. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, picks it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are members of the same body.
Mm.
So with Christ being the head. And he used that to represent his body broken for each one of us.
Mm. And then it says the cup is a new covenant in my blood. I suppose this is where green tea doesn't work so well because it's not, I mean, unless you have a very bad green tea, I imagine, it goes red.
Well, by the way, there is tea that's fairly red. There's red tea. And they're fermented tea, too. But I think importantly, I think he used that to say, you know, use everyday items to talk about life. And because we eat, and perhaps the culture of the Jews today, bread and wine, even like many other cultures, is common. And he used that to say that it's important. It goes back to the need to shed blood.
Mm.
To redeem.
Life for life.
Correct. And it's very, very important.
Because I know that some people criticize Jesus giving himself as a sacrifice or so to dying because he says, well, why couldn't he have done something else? It seems a bit over the top, a bit unnecessary for him to do that. But in order to redeem a life, there couldn't be other sacrifices? What are your thoughts?
I mean, the law of limitation set out in the Bible has an eye and eye for tooth for a tooth. And I think in life, you know, can only be exchanged for another life.
Yeah.
That's why John said, "There's greater love has no one than he that lays down his life for his brother." Mm. And there could be no better representation or example than someone giving his life in exchange for yours.
Yeah.
Can be nothing more supreme than that.
That's right. So actually the giving of a life actually redeems another life.
Correct. Yeah. There can be no better example than that.
He speaks about a new covenant here. What's a covenant?
I remember buying a piece of land and there was a covenant. It says that it cannot be small. The house that you built on this parcel of land cannot be smaller than this size.
So the house couldn't be smaller than that size.
And a covenant basically is a compact, an agreement, or a contract.
Yeah.
That's what it basically means.
Yeah. So you had to build a big house, did you?
I can't remember what size it was, but yeah.
So that was your excuse for having an enormous house. So I'm not trying to.
Looking for a setting for the Last Supper.
Right. Okay. Of course. Now he's talking about a new covenant. So what's this new covenant?
Biblically, every covenant that's initiated, by the way, a covenant in the Bible always be initiated from top down, from a divine being to human beings. And it always comes with a dispensation of grace.
Right.
So when Jesus talked about this new covenant, you know, he's saying that this is a covenant of covenants. You know, this is really, now I am providence.
Yeah.
I represent this all, be all and in all.
Yeah.
And this is what he's saying. Because he's saying, if I look at this particular meal, it's not just merely for a body. He says, broken for you, eat. It's not just a meal. It's something holistic for the body, which is food. And he says, give thanks. And from then on, we always remember, that's why some of us know it as communion or Eucharist. The word Eucharist is thankfulness. We need to always be thankful that it was Christ who took our place on the cross. And the other thing is, if we partake of it, we live of it, and we believe in his blood, that will be also salvation of the spirit. So that's why it's very significant. So it's the greatest covenant, the new covenant.
Yeah, well, I suppose it says a couple of things, does it? That the old covenant didn't work, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But it seemed to not work, so we needed to have a new covenant. But then you say that this is actually given, as it says here, it's given for you.
Correct.
So it's actually, there's a substitutionary element in
there as well.
Yeah.
He was very specific. You know, it repeated in the passage, for you.
Yes, yes.
Broken right. For you.
Mm. In the last couple of minutes here, maybe we'll reflect on the betrayal element here, this last couple of verses. Jesus starts saying some fairly concerning things, and he predicts that someone is going to betray him. Have you ever been betrayed?
Yes.
Are you able to share a little or anything without me putting someone in jail or something? Or, you know, or...
I think all of us would have been betrayed in one way or the other. If it's not, I can tell you, I'm no prophet, but it'll come. So this betrayal is actually, you know, amongst very close friends, you know, within the church. And I mean, I don't know whether due to misunderstanding or not, but it was basically a betrayal. It's very, very difficult. It traumatized me quite a fair bit.
Right.
However, yeah, God also, looking at Jesus, he himself was betrayed, and yet he overcame it. And I look at this particular, it always reminded me, every time I had, I partake of communion. And as I was going through the difficult moment, I would always say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, with this cup and with this bread, Lord, you strengthen me.
Yeah.
Lord, you heal me. Mm. So I've not only overcome it, I'm now able to also help people that have gone through betrayal through and comfort people with the comfort God comforted me.
Mm. I mean, this is what Cam's poem picked up before as well, some of the inner thinkings of Judas. He's not even mentioned here as Judas at this stage, that Jesus sort of identifies that there's going to be a betrayer. What do you think we make of Jesus' words about that there's going to be a betrayer amongst them?
It shows Jesus being God and being man. Again, it's his divinity comes forth, he knows. had this foreknowledge that Judas is the one that's going to betray him. At the same time, there'd be anguish of heart as well, too. And yet, he took the table to really have a meal, to represent that is how we also need to really have a meal with others. And what is going through in him was that he also knew that he had to go through this to really execute the new covenant. And he knew he had to go through this. And I think his supreme love for us and in obedience to his Father's will, and he was prepared to do it for mankind.
Well, because there's a certain irony, I think, in verse 22 there, where he talks about the Son of Man will go as it's been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. It's kind of funny because he's the Son of Man, which is a term that Jesus uses to describe himself. He's actually about to die. Correct. And he's actually saying, woe to the one who betrays him, who's not going to die.
Yeah.
That seems like it's a sort of a strange situation there that, well, this betrayer, who we know as Judas, is going to actually go through. It's actually going to be very difficult for him.
Correct.
Yeah. So as we're sort of finishing up here, what's the significance of the Last Supper? Like, this is meal, we're talking about significant meals in history. Why is this meal important?
I mentioned earlier, it really, really embodied in these elements will be something holistic that God has on that very, very night, given us everything we need, body, soul, and spirit. The cup and the bread being for food, for the body. And he said, give thanks. It's actually healing for the soul. And finally, you know, anyone partake of this would live forever. We have redemption or salvation. So this is how I see it. And because, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says that by his stripes we are healed. Jesus bore all our sicknesses and infirmities on the cross. And this is what it says. And Hebrews chapter 9 says the forgiveness or the shedding of blood allows for us to have forgiveness of sins. So, which is very, very important as well, too. So this Last Supper, again, to sum it up, is really very, very important because it is the covenant of covenants.
So today we've seen more about why this week was the week that's changed the world. Jesus predicts his substitutionary death, ushering in this new kingdom of God, this new covenant of covenants, which leaves us for the logos for the day, which is, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Please thank our guest today.
Thank you.
Victor Sue.